You know, maybe it's the case that it's kind of easy to spectacularly daydream when you're a kid who loves and understands physics.
Teleportation is pretty magical. I mean, almost any kid finds that awesome. I mean, I think any adult would find that awesome. But quantum mechanics in general is kind of just the idea of the supernatural being completely real. And so that's how I see myself. I see as someone who converts the supernatural into reality, and that's why I'm so excited about it.
Well, the excited voice there of Ari Dykovsky, who's a high school senior on his way to Stanford University, who decided to explore the potential of teleportation, that awesome thing he was talking about there, as a consequence of quantum mechanics, using the well-established concept of quantum entanglement, where two particles seem to be linked on some level, even though there's no physical connection of any kind. Ari decided to advance the frontier of theoretical physics and became the lead author of the recently published paper Analysis of Photon-Mediated Entanglement Between Distinguishable Matter Qubits. Catchy little title there, Ari.
Yeah.
did you come up with that one?
Sort of. It came along with the project as we went, but...
Well, it's great. Congratulations. The paper appears in the journal Physical Review A, and it may actually provide a crucial breakthrough in the quest to build what's called a quantum computer. Ari Dykovsky, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what's the breakthrough here? What's the problem that you think you may have solved? Or, well, it's published, so somebody thinks you've solved it.
So one of the issues that entanglement has had, especially at long distances, is that most of the research done has only used identical particles. And while that sounds great, it actually, in reality, won't be very useful because identical particles only can convey one advantage, whereas if we were to hybridize the system, which is really what I looked into and why I think my paper is so revolutionary, is that we can use different types of particles, each with separate advantages that in a quantum system for, let's say, teleporting information or even for a quantum computer, could instead actually give you multiple advantages that, for example, would allow fast processing time as well as high amounts of storage time and so on and so forth.
All right. So this quantum entanglement means a relationship can exist that doesn't require the time it takes to cross a distance. So therein lies the fast processing time advantage that comes from quantum entanglement as far as computers are concerned. But I don't understand this hybridization. Give me another pass at that. I've understood that in quantum theory, most of the entanglement, as you say, takes place with either identical particles or particles that may have different spin or, you know, opposite equal kinds of particles. You're suggesting that a pound of butter can have an entanglement issue with, say, a roller skate?
I mean, of course, that wouldn't work because that's on the macroscopic scale, and quantum mechanics, of course, takes place on the level of atoms or subatomic particles. And so you can think of identical particles of, let's say, having two of the same type of atoms. So having two barium ions that are entangled, that's having identical particles. Whereas if we were to extend that to hybridize it, we could actually take a barium ion and a quantum dot, for example.
What's a quantum dot?
So a quantum dot is really a synthetic clump of atoms, and it has certain properties that make it a little more efficient to use, and that's one of the places where we can use fast operations, whereas atoms alone aren't very quick, but they can hold the information for long amounts of time.
Now, very, very impressive, Ari Dykovsky, and I have to say, you know, I'm understanding very little of what you are saying, even though I'm trying to keep up. But Stephen Olmshank, who was your mentor at the Joint Quantum Institute, when you started talking this way, he got pretty excited.
Yeah, I emailed him mid-sophomore year and actually emailed a lot of people, but he was the only one that emailed back. And it took off from there. And since then, he's been a great mentor and really let me explore quantum physics.
Well, we'll get back to the quantum physics in just a moment, but when in school did you first have the impression that mathematics that you were being asked to do in, say, elementary school was way too boring?
In school, I think I still have that impression a little. I think the reason I got into math was because of my dad. We started out with games with arithmetic, but then sooner or later it turned into algebra and actually showing that math described the world, and that's where the physics idea came from.
And at what point did you make the leap from arithmetic to algebra?
Probably around second grade.
Second grade, right. And then from algebra to geometry and calculus?
Well, see, that's where the turn of events happened. During third grade, when my father passed away, that's really when I started to become disinterested in school, and it really took a while to get back into it. And I think it was around my freshman year that I really started to care again. And from there, it took off, and I started teaching myself calculus and a lot of the things needed for quantum physics.
All right, that is such a touching story, that math, and your dad has a math background, right, before he died?
Yeah, he was into economics, and he was a high-tech market researcher. So,
and it was math that really pulled you back. Now, you talked there at the top when I caught up with you on YouTube, talking about your project, your hybridized project. You described it as supernatural. It sounds to me like your dad sort of pulled you back with his math tools there, even after he's left us.
Yeah, I think that's really where the passion was from, and so it was really nice that it started early, and that's, I think, the reason I got back into it.
Well, that is very sweet, and of course, he must be, wherever he is, very, very proud in the quantum entanglement world, yes?
I'm sure he is.
All right, so how intimidating should I consider you if I'm, say, your freshman dorm roommate at Stanford, and I'm, you know, looking at my math homework?
Hopefully not too intimidated. I've met a fair amount of the incoming freshmen to my class at Stanford, and all of them are extremely impressive.
And maybe some of them even have published some papers here and there, right?
I'm sure they have. I know a few that have.
All right. Well, good luck. And there's not going to be any boring math there at Stanford in your freshman year. It's been great talking to you, Ari.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Ari Dykovsky, an 18-year-old published physicist. He's an incoming freshman at Stanford University. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Take care, Ari.
Thank you. You too.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.